This indeed was a revelation of Christ to your soul, said Christian. But tell me, what effect did this have upon your spirit? It made me see that all the world, regardless of any good it might contain, is in a state of condemnation. It made me see that God the Father, though he is just, can justify the sinner who comes to him. It made me greatly ashamed of the vileness of my former life, and dismayed me with a sense of my own ignorance, for before now nothing had so clearly showed me the beauty of Jesus Christ. It made me love a holy life, and long to do something for the honor and glory of the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes, had I now 1,000 gallons of blood in my body, I would have shed it all for the sake of the Lord Jesus. I saw then in my dream that Hopeful looked back and saw Ignorance, whom they had left behind. Look, he said to Christian, how that youngster lingers far behind. Yes, yes, I see him. He doesn't care for our company. But it wouldn't have hurt him to have kept up with us. That's true, said Christian, but I guarantee you he thinks otherwise. Hopeful said, that I think he does. However, let's wait for him. So they did. Then Christian said to him, come on, man, why do you stay so far behind? I enjoy walking alone, unless I particularly like the company. Then Christian said softly to Hopeful, didn't I tell you he doesn't care for our company? But let's pass the time in this desolate place by talking to him. Then he turned to Ignorance and said, how are you? How do things stand between God and your soul now? Well, I hope, for I am filled with good notions that come to mind and comfort me as I walk. What good notions? Please tell us. Why, I think of God in heaven. So do the devils and damned souls, said Christian. But I think of them and desire them. So do many that are never likely to get there, said Christian. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. But I think of them and leave all for them. That I doubt, said Christian, for leaving all is a hard thing to do, harder than many realize. But what makes you think you have left all for God and heaven? My heart tells me so. The wise man says, he that trusts his own heart is a fool, said Christian. That applies to an evil heart, but mine is good. But how do you prove that? Because it comforts me with the hope of heaven. That may be through its own deceitfulness, said Christian, for a man's heart may comfort him with hopes of that thing for which he has no grounds to hope. But my heart and life agree, and therefore my hope is well grounded. Who told you that your heart and life agree? My heart tells me so. Christian said, ask my friend here if I am a thief. Your heart tells you so? Unless the word of God bears witness to this matter, other testimony is of no value. But is it not a good heart that has good thoughts? And is not that a good life that is in accordance with God's commandments? Yes, said Christian, it is a good heart that has good thoughts, and it is a good life that is in accordance with God's commandments. But it is one thing indeed to have these, and another thing only to think so. Please tell me, said Ignorance, what do you consider good thoughts and a life in accordance with God's commandments? There are good thoughts of various kinds, some regarding ourselves, some God, some Christ, and some other things. What would be good thoughts regarding ourselves? Asked Ignorance. Those that agree with the Word of God. When do our thoughts about ourselves agree with the Word of God? When we pass the same judgment upon ourselves which the Word passes, said Christian. To explain what I mean, the Word of God says of the natural man, there is none righteous, there is none that doeth good. He says also that every imagination of the heart of man is only evil, and that continually. And again, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Now then, when we think thus of ourselves, having a real sense of it, then our thoughts are good ones, because they are in agreement with the Word of God. I will never believe that my heart is that bad. Therefore you have never had one good thought concerning yourself in your entire life. But let me go on. As the word passes a judgment upon our hearts, so it passes a judgment upon our ways, and when our hearts and our ways agree with the judgment which the word gives on both, then both are good, because they agree with it. Explain what you mean. Christian said, Why, the word of God says that man's ways are crooked ways, not good, but corrupt. It says they are naturally out of the good way, and they do not know it. Now when a man thinks this about his ways, both realistically and with humility, then he has good thoughts about his own ways, because his thoughts now agree with the judgment of the word of God. What are good thoughts concerning God? Asked Ignorance. Just as I've said concerning ourselves, when our thoughts about God agree with what the word says about him, and that is, when we think of his being and attributes as the word teaches, which I cannot right now discuss at length, but to speak of him with reference to us, we have right thoughts about God when we think that he knows us better than we know ourselves, and can see sin in us when and where we see none in ourselves, when we think he knows our innermost thoughts, and when our hearts are always open to his eyes, and when we think that all our righteousness stinks in his nostrils, and that therefore he cannot bear to see us stand before him with any confidence, even in our best performances. Do you think I am such a fool as to think God can see no further than I can, or that I would come to God in the best of my performances? So what do you think about this matter? Why, to be brief, I think I must believe in Christ for justification. What? You think you must believe in Christ when you don't see your need of him? Said Christian. You see neither your original sin nor your actual sin, but have such an opinion of yourself and of what you do that you are clearly revealed as one who has never seen a necessity for Christ's personal righteousness to justify you before God. How then can you say, I believe in Christ? I believe well enough. What do you believe? I believe that Christ died for sinners, and that I shall be justified before God through his gracious acceptance of my obedience to his law. Christ makes my religious works acceptable to his Father by virtue of his merits, and thus I shall be justified, said Ignorance. Let me give this response to your confession of faith, said Christian. 1. You believe with an imaginary faith, for this faith is described nowhere in the Word. 2. You believe with a false faith, because it takes justification from the personal righteousness of Christ and applies it to your own. 3. This faith makes Christ a justifier of your works, not of your person, and for your works' sake, which is false. 4. Therefore this faith is deceptive and will leave you under the wrath of God Almighty in the day of judgment. For true justifying faith sends the soul, aware of its lost condition by the law, flying for refuge to Christ's righteousness. And his righteousness is not an act of grace by which he makes your obedience acceptable to God as a justification, but it is his personal obedience to the law in doing and suffering for us, that which would be required of us. This is the righteousness that true faith accepts, and under which the soul is covered, and presented as spotless before God, and acquitted of condemnation. What? Said Ignorance. Would you have us trust in what Christ in his own person has done without us? This kind of thinking would free us to live however we liked. For why would it matter how we live, if all we have to do is believe we can be justified by Christ's personal righteousness? Christian said, Ignorance is your name, and so are you. Even this answer demonstrates it. You are ignorant of what justifying righteousness is, and you are ignorant of how to save your soul from the wrath of God through faith in that righteousness. Yes, You also are ignorant of the true effects of saving faith in this righteousness of Christ, which means to yield the heart to God in Christ, to love His name, His word, His ways, and His people. Hopeful said, "Ask him if he ever had Christ revealed to him from heaven." "What?" said Ignorance. "You believe in revelations? I think that what you and all the rest say about that matter is just the result of disordered minds." Hopeful said, "Why, man? Christ is so hidden in God from our natural understanding that he cannot be known by any man unless God the Father reveals him to us. That is your faith, but not mine. Yet I have no doubt that mine is as good as yours."
"Allow me to interject this word," said Christian. "You should not speak so lightly of this matter. For this I will boldly affirm, even as my good friend has done, that no man can know Jesus Christ except by the revelation of the Father, yes, and faith too, by which the soul lays hold upon Christ, must be formed by His mighty power, of which, poor Ignorance, you are ignorant. So wake up, see your own wretchedness, and fly to the Lord Jesus, and by His righteousness, which is the righteousness of God, for He Himself is God, you shall be delivered from condemnation." "You go so fast," said Ignorance, "I cannot keep up with you. You go on ahead, I must stay behind for a while." Then they said, "Well, Ignorance, wilt thou yet foolish be, to slight good counsel 10 times given thee? And if thou yet refuse it, you shalt know, ere long, the evil of thy doing so. Remember, man, in time, stoop, do not fear. Good counsel taken well saves, therefore hear. But if thou yet shalt slight it, thou wilt be the loser, Ignorance, I'll warrant thee." Then Christian said to his friend and companion, "Well, come, my good Hopeful, I see that you and I must walk by ourselves again." So I saw in my dream that Christian and Hopeful walked on quickly, while Ignorance came hobbling behind. Then said Christian to his companion, "I pity this poor man, for he will certainly have a hard time at the end." Hopeful said, "Sadly, there are many in our town in the same condition, whole families, yes, whole streets, and some are pilgrims too. And if there are that many in our part of the world, how many must there be in the place where he was born?" Christian said, "Indeed, the word says, he hath blinded their eyes, lest they should see. But now that we are by ourselves, tell me, what do you think of such men? Have they never been convicted of sin, and consequently have no fears about the dangerous conditions of their souls? You tell me what you think, for you are the elder." "I think that sometimes they may come under conviction, but being naturally ignorant, they do not understand that such convictions are for their good, and therefore they desperately seek to stifle them, and continue to flatter themselves that their own hearts are right. I believe, as you say, that fear often works for men's own good when they begin to go on pilgrimage. Without any doubt it does, if it is the right kind of fear. For the word says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." "How would you describe the right kind of fear?" asked Hopeful. "True or right fear can be discerned by 3 things, said Christian. "One, by its origin. It is caused by the conviction that one needs salvation for sin. 2, it drives the soul to cling to Christ for salvation. 3, it creates within the soul a great reverence for God, His word and His ways, keeping the soul sensitive to all of these, and making it afraid to turn from them, to the right hand or to the left, to anything that might dishonor God, destroy the soul's peace, or grieve the spirit."